Great to be with you all today. Several months ago, Dr. McKinney received a phone call, and fortunately, unfortunately, she retired. And I've been working with her for a number of years now and had the opportunity to step up at the plate and work with her on this talk. This is kind of a unique perspective. It's a West Texas perspective, and I'll kind of go into that here in just a second. Has been mentioned, and I didn't realize this until I noticed everybody is here, but many of the people in these papers are actually in the room today, so I'm very intimidated. But the perspective and the understanding of horticulture and the number of students in the discipline in colleges and universities has been going up and down over the last 3 or 4 decades. I was reading a paper from the early 80s, mid-90s, 2000s, and then a couple of papers in the last 2 or 3 years kind of indicate some of the struggles that we were having of getting students into the university to major in the plant sciences, and particularly in horticulture. Some of the research is things have already been talked about today, the plant blindness, misconceptions, basically really not any understanding of what horticulture is, and then, or plant biology, however you want to say it, have been challenges for us for a number of years now. It has been mentioned also there are some great opportunities in horticulture. And it's been a challenge, or will continue to be a challenge, I think, to get that information to prospective students. These are some of the things that have been outlined in that research. Several of these have already been mentioned. Particularly, I think the entrepreneurship is a great opportunity for many people. As I mentioned, making an impact on the world, making a difference. We just attended a session on some of the ways we can measure, you know, plant water loss and smog conductance and all those type of things. There's vendors here that have, you know, a need for people to work for them. All those high-tech things that many people are looking forward to do can be done with plants. And so there's a lot of opportunities. And as been mentioned, there's a number of jobs that go unfilled each year. So there's some things out there that we should be looking at and using. And some of the recommendations from that research, I'm not going to go over every one of these, but some of them are very obvious, some are not quite so obvious. So talk about elementary and high school students. The family seems to be a very important key for recruiting. I know my parents had gardens, and I dreaded every time I had to weed the garden, but somehow it stuck with me. I have 5 brothers and sisters. I have nothing to do with plants, and then my kids have anything to do with plants, but I was the oddball, I guess. So there's a number of things that we can focus on based on the research. Now, just to give you a West Texas perspective, many of you may not even know there's horticulture in Lubbock, Texas, or where Lubbock, Texas is. We are located between Dallas and Albuquerque. Give you some of the information there. Lubbock is semi-arid, so we don't get a lot of rainfall. It's also not a lot of people there. I'll give you some numbers there, how far we are away from the metroplex and the high population areas of Texas, which are basically on the west or on the eastern side of the state. So if we get people to come to Lubbock, Texas, we're recruiting against Texas A&M, which is the land grant school. But we work together a lot of things. The Houston areas, Dallas, Fort Worth area, where probably 90% of the state's population is. Most of the students at Tech are from West Texas. And so that's one of the challenges that we face. We're just very isolated in a population desert. And in the ecological desert as well. Now, based on some of the things that we have done over the past number of years, I want to just basically go over the first three items, the core curriculum courses, specializations, and new courses, and distance education are the ones I want to cover for sure. Those are kind of lined up in the right order. If I have extra time, which I probably won't, we can cover some of the last four. So the first I want to just work with you on are the core curriculum courses. And again, this is very important for our department. I'll show you some numbers here in a second. But as in most state universities, the coordinating board in Texas requires that all students have 8 credit hours of life and physical sciences. And we have a number of classes that we currently have that fulfill that requirement. The one we've had the longest is Principles of Horticulture. One we've just added is has a creative arts core class is floral design. And those two classes, particularly 1411, play a significant role in our department. The Principles of Horticulture class goes over many of the fundamental plant processes. Here they're looking at light, different light levels and hydroponics and things like that. We do a number of propagation experiments with the students in the lab. So they meet about two or three times a week, depending on the class, and they have a two-hour lab every week. So there's usually 13 to 14 labs each long semester. So the students are in the greenhouse quite a bit. Our floral design class is we were asked by the college actually to make this a core curriculum course. We've had this taught over the last 20 years by various people. Our instructor now has done an outstanding job of raising money and getting backing for this course. This is our new lab. That's what it used to look like for our floriculture class, our floral design class, and they did some remodeling, and that's what it looks like now. That will be, we're going to get another classroom, another lab for this class. This is growing so fast. On this table, on this graph here on the left, are principal to horticulture students, and the red line indicates the number of students over the last several years. And you can see this is per year, so per academic year, for fall through spring, or fall through summer. So we peaked about 2016, 2015 with nearly 750 students enrolled in that class. We usually have three sections. Each section has about 100 to 150 students. It's taught over the summer. It's taught online. It's taught on campus. And you can kind of see the numbers there, how it's fluctuated over the years. But it's a steady stream of potential students coming into our department. This is the floral design class. And as you can see, over the last 10 years or so, it held steady. It was didn't really meet a core curriculum. It was more of a service class. People enjoyed floral design and stuff. Once we hit the core curriculum in the fall of 2017, we'll be teaching it every semester. And there's four labs with 20 labs in each, 20 students in each lab. So you can see how the population of that class has greatly expanded over the last couple of semesters. We have an opportunity because of this to have TAs to teach the labs, which is a great benefit for us in our research. All we have to do is basically provide summer salary for these students. We also have an opportunity. Several years ago, our department chair felt the need to reach out to the advisors across campus to get more students into this class. There's obviously a number of life science, life and lab sciences they can take. So we have an advisor's breakfast. I don't know if bribery is the right word, but we invite them out to the greenhouse. This is our entomology instructor here teaching or talking to the advisors, but we're trying to acquaint these advisors from all the different departments, all different colleges on campus to to the greenhouse, give them a plant, give them a tour, give them a free breakfast, and pass them along the way. So we get some one-on-one time. That's Dr. McKinney there in the red. And show off the floral design. They design those centerpieces and things, and just get an opportunity to really to meet with them one-on-one. And it's been very helpful for our department. Next topic I wanted to visit with y'all about is over the years how things change. I think we've all seen that. I've been at Tech now almost 20 years, and it's been amazing to me how classes come and go, how awareness of the degree comes and goes, how students come and go, student numbers. I had an opportunity to look back while I was preparing for this talk to about the mid-1940s on the course catalogs for the university. Luckily, a lady in the dean's office who does all of our works with our students and makes sure they have all their grades and classes to graduate. She had a closet full of course catalogs. So I went back and looked at a number of those, and I'll show you what I found. But these are on the bottom down there. It shows some of the new courses or renamed or refocused courses or reconfigured courses. For example, Dr. McKinney's Management of Horticultural Enterprises was Garden Center Management. So basically she changed the name, changed the focus. Environmental crop or controlled environment crop production was greenhouse crop production. So it's more high tunnels, not just greenhouse crops, but other crops, other ways to grow crops. So quickly going back, and just again, just kind of see how the name changes. And one of the things I read in the research on those journal articles was that I think it was only about 30% of the horticulture degrees. Horticulture is in the actual name of the department that is giving that degree, which you'll see how that changes with our department. Now we're the Department of Plant and Soil Science. So a student gets a specialization in horticulture, but that's not the department we're in. So back in the 60s, it was horticulture and park administration. Mid-70s, park administration, landscape architecture and horticulture. Mid-80s, plant parts, that's when it made that big switch. Now it's been the Department of Plant and Soil Science, and you can get a degree in horticulture. About 2015, we went to specialization. Everybody in our department now gets a plant and soil science degree. You can specialize in crop science or in horticulture or horticulture and turf, viticulture, enology, and those types of things. And then this past year, this current year, we went to concentrations, which I'm not sure why the verb has changed, but now we have concentrations in horticulture and turf grass, viticulture, enology, a distance horticulture degree, and local food and wine production. So again, we're reaching out to the interests of the student, trying to focus on their needs. This slide here basically is the number of students in our department. So the red line is the one I just want to focus on. It was fairly high in the late 2000s, 9 and 10. It plummeted about 19 or 2016, and over the past number of years, it's held fairly steady. I'm not real sure what happened between 13 and 16, but it really kind of bottomed out. For those worried about these types of things, this is our student credit hours for our department and the horticulture students. So in the red is the plant and soil science credit hours. The horticulture, particularly 14-11, is the black line, and you can see it about 60% of our student credit hours in our department come from horticulture. Particularly, I would probably say 90 or 89% of that is that principal, the horticulture class. So that keeps our department chair really happy. And this final one I show you is just I thought it was interesting. Or going back to 1965, number of courses in the fall semester that had horticulture related to horticulture, and then the number of faculty, that includes instructors and tenure track. And you kind of see over the years how that's gone up and down, and it's going back up now. So that's encouraging. Last thing I want to talk about is distance education. Initially, we started teaching our Principles of Horticulture class in early 2000s. Dr. McKinney and Dr. Pefley received some funding for that. It was very, considered to today's standards, was very primitive. But today, a vast majority of our courses are taught distance, and we feel that's a great recruiting tool. In 2010, we had a distance degree. This was, I don't know why I had this, but somewhere on my files, this was the original plant propagation class that I taught online. It was in WebCT. Very basic. This is my class now. So it's a little more up to date, you can see. We do have a horticulture at a distance degree where they take a lot of their general ed at a local community college, and they can take the most of the major courses online through our department, which is a great recruiting tool. And this is my plant propagation class that I've taught often online over the last several years. The live students are in the red, about 54%, and the online students are in the dark or in the black. And again, it's fairly close. I alternate that. And this is my viticulture class. And I'll be teaching it live this fall, but again, it's pretty close over the years, and there's a number of students that they're only taking that online for that. So I think my time is far spent here. Let me get back to the end here. So I appreciate y'all's time. Again, there's a number of things we'll probably discuss later, but thank you, and I look forward to meeting with you.
Thank you, Thane.